Lift it up, may we read from Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for sending me today. Thank you, that song, and your voice is perfect for it. Deep, strong, and powerful, and it's a true voice. I want to tell you something in that song. I first got to mind when we were both at the model gathering for our high school education together. I was in the class behind me, so we didn't have classes together. And we both, we were not very close, but I knew Phil because we were seniors. I could not carry much of a tune, but I admired those up there and Phil had talent. I would sit and listen to the time Phil gave such a message, and I would say to myself, if I could only see myself as well. Well, when I graduated from high school and he graduated the next year, I found very small to think I was my reunion. And then, a few years ago, I was getting to him like today, and he was down to sing just a music. I was nice and I told you that the old times were different. A month later, I was asked to give the sermon to him, and here was Phil singing again. This time, I saw him out in my sermon pocket, and we both did not look until we were 3 minutes at the same time, and we didn't know each other's pocket for the time. I got to thinking, God is taking so long in the world for a reason. So, for many times after that, I was able to say in my truth. It was nice, and I felt God was using us to encourage others to stay close to Jesus and trust in following the family. And all about 3 years ago, Phil told me that when I asked him to help me out by singing, and his voice was changing, and it was hard to do a good job in the disability. But he said, I understand that God gives it back, and I know because you have the meditation to keep him going. And all the very next time that I was feeling certain that I wanted to turn it down for, there was Phil, at this time, and three others were fighting a quartet that is singing him. And I sang Christian Mercy twice that day. That was the very day I left him to sing. God had a time for us that we were not even aware of. Anyway, a few months ago, Phil came up to me and said that he was okay with singing because Jesus again sang a song and not just for your faith. I said, that is great, and I'm glad we are together again and here after. We want to know if we are even cooler. About 2 months ago, Phil and his wife Laurel joined their church here in February. And that is so nice. And one of my opportunities that I don't want to miss out on is encouraging each other all the way through. That's the time of Southern Church time. Let us all, as Southern SBA church members, now to do that for each other and remain faithful to Jesus and to the church of all of you. Thy word has been hidden in my heart. Thy word has been hidden by my nightstand. I don't want to see that either. Thy word has been hidden in my door box. Thy word has been hidden in my heart. God, the answer is true. And I might not sin against you. Are you building on the rock? Do you know what the rock is? Jesus, God, God's word, the Bible. Lastly, this is just a review. They learned several ways from Phil's story and how not to sin against God, and to resist temptation, and that any sin is ultimately a sin against God. for why not number one, look at how conviction is before the council. Under chapter 39 and verse 8, for the hearing hears, underline that phrase and go on about it. Number two, Joseph knew when God informed the Lord of the Lord. Verse 22, my master withheld nothing from me except you. Underline that phrase and put the two words. Number three, Joseph had the sense to avoid his source. And verse 10 says, but even be unheard. Underline that phrase and put the three words. Who else gave us instruction to avoid the source? God told Adam and Eve to avoid the tree of knowledge of good and evil, number one, to touch it or eat it. Number four, Joseph was caught in sin. As far as his father was alive, Joseph was a wicked man and still on the throne. Number one, that story is a four word. Number five, Joseph knew the tree was bigger than the tree. Verse 12, it says, and he ran on the house. Underline that phrase and put a follow-up. Then you can give some of the study in the follow-up way to a great conclusion of the Bible. And then, dear God, thank you for giving me the privilege to talk about Joseph to this story. Help us to take to heart the lessons that you've given us through this prayer, that we can not sin against you, and that we will strive to live here for eternity. Amen. Amen. Lessons from Joseph, part 7, found in chapter 39, 13 through 22. This is a continuation of the last lesson about Joseph's test for purity and how he passed them and the result surpassing them. In the previous lesson, we covered Joseph's stand against temptation. We looked at the power of temptation and Joseph's power over temptation. Joseph's actions were totally correct from a biblical perspective, and that's where I will leave them because it's very hard to react to these people. Before we get into the story of Joseph, I would like to tell you another story of how Walter performs with his lesson Joseph in his prison. Have you ever heard of this hymn, It Is Well With My Soul? If you have, you should have been listening on the scene. This song came from the heart of a man that was torn by testing and loving. Horatio Spafford, born in 1828, was a very prosperous senior partner at Chicago Law Firm, Clarkson. Spafford invested in real estate in North Chicago in the spring of 1871. He was very confident at least until the Great Chicago Fire, when the fever knocked over the Great Chicago Fire, which reduced the city to ashes and destroyed most of Spafford's investment. 2 years after the devastation of the Great Chicago Fire, Spafford's client found a vacation to Europe. Horatio remained in Chicago to finish business, one issue arising from the fire, which caused the strength of wife and 4 daughters to head to England for a good plan to lay down money for preaching. The story of Horatio was a tender man. He was an elder of the Presbyterian Church, and a supporter and good friend of Dwight Van Lee to carry the evangelism. In November of 1872, a luxury open mind will be haunted that was taken out of fabric and her 4 daughters to Europe was accidentally rammed by another ship and left in 2 men with its strength. One conscious aspect was rescued from some imploding debris, and all 4 of the children perished. After receiving a telegram from his wife and friend, stand alone, and learning that all 4 of his daughters were lost at sea, Horatio took a ship to Europe to be with his wife. Don't forget that Potiphar was a man, and Pharaoh's bodyguard was a chief priest. who could execute you on the one of you, but you did not contribute to the family. What's going on here? Note that in verse 19, it says, "And Potiphar's anger was aroused." He doesn't say that means. I believe Potiphar was angry at his wife, not Joseph. I think he knew his wife better than he realized at the first reading of the story. Potiphar had to let Joseph in prison because he knew he would have left him open to blame if he had not. Peter and prophets know that Potiphar knew Joseph well enough to know that he couldn't be done with him from the very beginning. And Potiphar knew his wife well enough to know she was treated by falsely accusing Joseph. And Potiphar was right about Joseph and saying that he was the right to talk, even to prison. He was a leader in his home, a leader in Potiphar's home, and he became a leader in prison. He was put in charge of all other prisoners, receiving full authority from the prison master to run the prison he saw fit, which was number 223. Joseph seems to have been a leader, a man brought to God to serve God's influence wherever he went and whatever he did. All their suspicions about Joseph's innocence were prompted and planted to be lost on the related imposing. We have to keep Joseph from falling long enough for the uproar over him to die down. No, life has gone better over for Jesus in prison. In Psalms 105:18, Psalms 105 devotes several verses to the story of Joseph's life. We learn that, quote, "It hurt his feet for fetters, and he was weighed in iron." Potiphar let Joseph be treated like a regular prisoner until he was released and made the supervisor of his own employees. I also can imagine that one day Potiphar came home and said, "Remember that leader Joseph? He was just very second in command of all of Egypt." There are four important applications that you learn from this experience in Joseph's life. Number one, prosperity is not a matter of circumstance, it's a matter of character. At the beginning of Genesis 39, we are told that Joseph was prosperous, making all around him prosperous as well. Where was he? What were his circumstances? He was a piece of human property, a slave in the Egyptian official in Potiphar. At the end of the chapter, he is still prospering under this time of the prison. The Americans, even Christian Americans, have the mistaken notion that prosperity involves some level of material abundance and freedom to do what they want. But in God's eyes, prosperity is a function of character and being true to God and to His Word. If we are walking faithfully and obediently with God, we can be prosperous in spirit and character regardless of our circumstances. What do we need to be doing? Our poverty? Our false belief? Our best work? And we have a different character. And we want to have a prosperous character quality. Joseph was a prosperous man because he trusted that God was at work in all the situations in which he found himself. Number two, perspective comes from seeing God in every situation. It is amazing to see how many times we spend in Genesis 39 that God was with Joseph. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3, the Lord was with him. Verse 5. The Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 25. Because the Lord was with him. The aspect of Christianity is the promise that Christ is with us wherever we go. Our problem is that we forget that He is with us. When difficult times come, we think we're all alone in the midst of our trouble, forgetting that He is right there as well. Now Satan with God's presence of justice and inspired confidence to the life of children when they figured in the previous passage. With no reference to God being with Judah, the Judah was murdered as well. All of Judah's ungodly behavior has been clear indication that God not turned the loyalty to God at all to the God of his standard judgment. Joseph, on the other hand, seemed to live a life that was sensitive to the presence of God. As a result, God was there to him in every family he did. It's not hard to see the difference between the two men's lives, and therefore it shouldn't be hard to determine which life we would rather live. The one where God is nowhere, the one where God is there. Why do you come to church? The ability to see God in every circumstance by faith and choosing to want God's presence in your life. The momentary present problem often prepares your future position. Present problem often prepares your future position. Joseph didn't know at the time, but his experience in this impossible time, and later, was assigned to oversee the team of persons in excellent preparation for his eventual promotion to overseeing all of Egypt. In other words, our present assignment, be they good or bad, difficult or easy, often prepares for future responsibilities. Joseph was a 17-year-old with his dream of his future promise and prosperity. Not long after that dream, the world of Egypt was declared. Looking forward a number of years, what would Joseph have known about running an entire country? Nothing. But God sent him to school. First, he was part of his life's offer, and then he came to school. Following those two assignments, Joseph was ready for God's ultimate purpose. He put him in a place of highest authority, so he was ready to ask his family to be part of that community and begin to experience the family of the family. Number four, righteousness is not always immediately rewarded. Righteousness is not always immediately rewarded. Joseph did right in Canaan and was going to appear. He did right in Egypt, and he was thrown into the prison. God was with him in the pit and in the prison. In due course, God rewarded Joseph's righteousness and faithfulness by elevating him to a place he could never have imagined. Sometimes we are tempted to get angry and bitter when God seems not to notice that we are trying to live for him. But when we live for God, especially in the face of persecution, anybody can afford to pressure, but all Christians have a reason and the resources to stand firm and win on the reward and the kingdom. Don't let your situation turn your actions. Instead, live life to yourself. Decide today what you believe and whom you represent. And let your character and your standard speak the response to your circumstances. And then we ask, and then we God and the Joseph Packer will return home to see the work of the world and to do it in the mind of nature. And how the second thing will be. Both the long fall of his son, the rest of the gender, and the rest of his son. And then we have a daughter, both of them, who can and find the one more father, Ruth, who found the new one. Some of them were stranger to their home. It's not a fear of the dark and the first time. And February 11th, she moved to Asian Three. The final tragedy, after a decade of financial loss, and personal grief and loss of his four daughters, and Joseph had a lack of support in their church community, a racial faith of liberation and material success towards lifelong spiritual activity. in 1981, Pastor Bless American began the last year in first grade. They rented a house in the old section of Jason's, were determined to live there as the early Christian kids in the days before them. In Jason's, Nessa and Pastor adopted a teenager. They said to one student, Kathy, the family had become widely known for their love and then service to the needy in Jason's, and also their families and the teaching of the Bible. A little more than a century later, the Stafford Children's Service Center is serving Jason and the West Bank with providing education and health care to as many as 30,000 children annually under the leadership of descendants, first Monoversa and then granddaughter of the Stafford. Today, the 93-year-old granddaughter heads up this program and continues to operate.